My sermon tonight is the continuation of a series of lessons I have been doing for a few weeks. I had an entire sermon 2 weeks ago on the spiritual and physical dimensions. And then last week I had a sermon for you on how the proud have fallen, a study of Satan. My sermon tonight is actually the continuation of last week's sermon. Yes, of last week's sermon on a study of Satan. I've entitled the sermon, The Reality of Satan's Spiritual Wickedness. And where we're going to start the sermon this evening is by going over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. I'm going to be reading from the outline. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now notice what I put for you on the overhead here. The text tells us we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. He's not physical, but we're wrestling against the devil. And this is what he has to say about the devil, that he's not flesh and blood, that he's the ruler of the darkness of this age. And then the last thing here, against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, we're going to be taking this text here and just breaking it down. Because what I'm trying to teach you from the scriptures is the nature of our enemy, the nature of the one who is our adversary that is against us. First of all, he's not physical. There is a physical and a spiritual dimension. You and I, we are physical beings in the physical dimension. There is a spiritual dimension. God is spirit, and God created beings in the spiritual dimension. Seraphim, cherubim, angels. Those are spiritual beings that live in the spiritual dimension. Satan is a spiritual being. He comes from a spiritual dimension into our world, our dimension, earth. And it says about him, he is the rulers of the darkness of this age. I want you to notice the phrase spiritual hosts, plural. It's not just Satan alone. There are those who are with him in the spiritual dimension who ally themselves with him. You're going to be seeing in the sermon this evening, we're going to be talking about demons. We're also going to be talking about next week and this week that there are angels that Satan influenced, and through Satan tempting even angels, angels fell. We're going to be talking about over in Revelation chapter 12, how it talks about Satan and his angels. And so I'm going to just tell you straight up front, I believe when we're talking about the demons, those are the angels that Satan influenced that fell because of Satan. And so that's what I believe he's talking about here when he says spiritual hosts of wickedness. It's more than just Satan. And again, in the heavenly places. And so we're just going to take this text now and break it down. Job is where we're going. Come on, quicker work. Job chapter 1, 6 through 7. Again, I'm going to read from the outline this time. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to him, Satan, where did you come from? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it. All right. What we're dealing with here, when we're talking about sons of God, I pointed out to you last week from over in the 38th chapter of Job, it talks about morning stars and sons of God. Morning stars, I believe, are talking about cherubim. Sons of God is talking about angels. And so here you have angels, sons of God, coming into the presence of God to present themselves before God, and Satan comes in among them. Notice where he is. He's walking back and forth on the earth. He has been cast down to the earth. This is where he is now. The next thing you find, verse I want to show you is from Revelation 12 and verse 7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought. Again, and what I want to show you is, where is this war taking place? Heaven. We're dealing with the spiritual dimension. And he's just talking about Satan and his angels. So there are angels that sinned as well. We're going to be talking about them in the close of the sermon here this evening and in next week's sermon. So all I'm trying to show you here is when he talks about spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places, he is talking about spiritual wickedness in the spiritual dimension. All right, getting back to the outline here. Are you going to work for me? Yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. What I'm wanting you to see in this part of the sermon is before Jesus came into this world, before Christ came into this world, the level of power that Satan had over our entire world, folks. You have to understand this to understand the work of Jesus. Going over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, whose mind the God of this age has blinded. I'm going to read the entire verse to you. Who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. Now look what I've shown you here. How does Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit refer to Satan here? The God of this age. Folks, if you are the God of this age, that means you're God over it all. This age, our world, at one time, this is where Satan, the power that he held over this world. He was the God of this age. Going further in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Again, reading from the outline. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Notice how he's referred to here. The prince of the power of the air. And again, he refers to him as the spirit. We're dealing with a spiritual being. And all the folks out there in the world, the sons of disobedience, it is Satan who is working in them and through them. And then the third verse for you is over in John, chapter 14, verse 30. I will no longer talk with you, but the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. All I want you to do now is see what Satan is described by God as. He became the God of this age. He became the prince of the power of the air. He became the ruler of this world. Before Christ came, folks, you got to understand this world was completely, totally consumed by Satan and his influence. It was the God of this age. He was the ruler of this world. He was the prince of the power of the air. I'm trying to impress upon your mind the total control Satan had on our world and all of humanity. All of us. You've got to understand that, folks. This world was his world. Hades was his realm of power and control. We all belonged to him because we all sinned. All right. Revelation, getting back to it, chapter 12, 9 through 10 this time. So, the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ is come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. What I want you to see here, this is such an important verse, because this is the verse that ties it all together. He talks about the great dragon, that serpent of old. This is the verse in the very end of the Bible that really nails down for us that the serpent at the very beginning was Satan working through the serpent. Satan was there. It was Satan, the serpent of old called the devil and Satan. Study the Old Testament on the subject of Satan. When you get home, just get your concordance and look up the word Satan. You'll find it about five or six places in the Old Testament. Most of it's Job, Zechariah, Chronicles. Going off on a brief tangent here, just being technical about it. In the Old Testament, he's called the Satan. Okay, whoopee. Which basically means adversary. The one who is against God. The one who is against you. He's against you. His desire is for you to destroy you, to make you his. You got to understand that. That's what it's all about. The battleground is our hearts and our minds. The spoils of the war is your soul. That's what it's all about. And so getting back to this text, look at the way in which he is described. The one who deceives the whole world. We have all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. You know Ezekiel 18? The soul that sins, it shall die. Spiritual death. Because of Satan deceiving Eve, sin came into this world. Death spread upon all men because of sin. Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The whole world, all of us. He is the God over the world before Christ. He's the ruler of the age before Christ. Notice what he's doing, or should I say, was doing before Christ. Now you got previews of next week's lesson. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night. Every time anyone sins, you're his. You deserve hell. Look at what he did. Look at what she did. Look at what they said. Look at their actions. They sin. Let them come to hell with me. They're mine. Do you understand it? That's what it's all over. Your soul, he wants you. And he is the one who's accusing you and was accusing you before God. Because he wants you with him forever. Continuing now. John chapter 8, going to the outline. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. We read earlier that he deceives the whole world. He is the one that has led this world into sin. But the text says here he was a murderer from the beginning. You know, I thought about this phrase for a while. I understand that when God was speaking to Cain and Cain was angry and God said, sin lies at the door, but you need to get your control over it. That Satan was going to be using the anger of Cain to murder his own brother. But I think there's more to it than that. Murder is premeditated. Murder is the intention to kill someone. You're intending it. You've got to understand, Satan murdered us all. He murdered Adam and Eve with intention. He went into our world knowing what he was doing all along with the intention of bringing death on them. Spiritual death, physical death. And everyone who has sinned through his deceit, his intention is to murder us all. And he has been a murderer from the beginning. Let that sink in. It's not just Cain, folks. It's Adam, it's Eve, it's you, it's me. His intention for us is death. And he intends to do it, premeditated, planning it. That's what murder is. He is the greatest murderer in the history of anything. And he is a liar and the father of it. The way in which he deceives is lies. In Genesis chapter 3, and the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." One word changed, not. By the way, that lie has been repackaged and told countless times. When someone says to you, "You can't be lost after you believe." Once saved, always saved. That's the original lie repackaged, telling you that you can go into sin, you ain't got to worry about it. So you see, through lies of the serpent, Satan, sin came into our world, and death by that sin. And he did it with intent, premeditated murder. The next verse I want to show you is found in the Old Testament. This is one of the few verses in the Old Testament where the Satan is mentioned, or Satan. "Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to do what? Accuse him." Satan is the accuser, the adversary. You remember what we read earlier, going back here in Revelation, what do you do? Who accused them before our God day and night. His desire for you is one simple thing. He desires your absolute spiritual destruction. Because in that condition, you will belong to him in hell for eternity. Going back to Job this time. "So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person.' So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord." When Job lost all of his wealth, when Job lost all 10 of his children, when Job lost his health, he didn't know what was going on. Yes, he thought it was God. But it is from the book of Job we understand that in reality, it was Satan. It was Satan that had all of Job's wealth taken from him. It was Satan who had all 10 of his children killed. It was Satan who struck Job with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. You've got to understand who your enemy is. And if Satan can make you angry at God, do you remember Job's wife, second chapter, coming to Job and saying, "Do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die." She's trying to encourage him to do exactly what Satan told God he could get him to do. I would say she was pretty upset. I'd say she's pretty angry. I'd say she's blaming it on God. And that's exactly what he wants. He wants you to get angry at God. He wants you to draw back from God. He wants to leave God. He wants you to curse God to his face. Because in so doing, he understands after you do that, you're his. Do you remember in a lesson last week, going back to Isaiah 14, what was one of the things the king of Babylon wanted? He wanted to be God. He wanted his throne above the stars of heaven. He wanted to be treated as God. How about the king of Tyre? What was it he wanted? He wanted to be God. He wanted to be treated as God, even though he was a man and not God. I tried to point out to you from those texts, I believe you find the same thing in a study of Satan. What it is he wants to be worshipped as God. I'm going to start this part of the sermon by going over to Leviticus chapter 17 and in verse 7. They shall no more offer their sacrifices to demons, after whom they have played the harlot. This shall be a statute forever for them throughout their generations. You know, when you go back to the time of the flood, it talks about mankind, how the thoughts of his heart and his mind were only evil continually. I have a question for you. Who was their God? Satan had absolute, total control over them. And then you have the flood of Noah, and all those people are wiped out, and you've got only Noah and his household alive. It amazes me whenever I study ancient history and I go back to as far as we can go, you know what I find in early civilization after the flood? Idolatry! Idolatry. And you need to understand something, folks. I pointed out to you in the sermon last week that in the ancient world, the big three were the sun, the moon, morning star. How big do you think they were in the ancient world? I'll tell you how big they were. What are our days in our culture named after? What's the first day of the week? Sun Day. The second day of the week, Moon Day. The third day of the week, Tuesday. If you don't know Tuesday, it's from Tiwaz, who is Ishtar. The big three, the sun, the moon, and the morning star. Even in our culture, our days are named after the big three. Behind every idol that has ever been worshipped, regardless of culture, regardless of time, behind every idol that has ever been worshipped is only one being. Satan and his host, who have whatever they have through him. The demons, when they sacrificed, they were sacrificing to demons. Again, who was the God of this age and this world? Satan and his host. Continuing with this. Deuteronomy 32, 17. They sacrifice to demons, not to God. To God they do not know. To new gods, new arrivals that your fathers did not fear. Again, I want you to see here the sacrifice to who? Demons. Continuing, Psalm this time 106, verse 37 to 38. They even sacrifice their sons and their daughters to demons and shed innocent blood. The blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. You know, when you study idolatry, there's something that seems to pop up all over the place. You study Chemosh, you study Molech, you study Baal, and you know how they worshiped child sacrifice. Sacrifice your sons, sacrifice your daughters, kill them in front of me and sacrifice them to me. Satan always loves the absolute destruction of the innocent. And if he can get you to do it in front of him, in worship of him, he has got you to give up your greatest gift from God to him. Your own flesh and blood. By the way, I think all abortion today is the exact same thing. Continuing though, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. And the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory and said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. There it is, folks. That's what he desires. That's what he has always desired. He wants to be God. He understands God is God and he's not God, but what God has is worship, and that's what he wants. He wants you to worship him as your God. This time now going over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 20-21. Rather that the things with the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons, not to God. I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. You can't be coming in on the Lord's day to worship the Lord's table and taking the Lord's supper and then go down to the temples and share the worship of any kind of idol. Notice, it didn't matter what it was. Any kind of idol, you're worshiping the exact same thing behind them all. For all eternity. All idolatry. And again, just think about this for a moment. When Jesus came into this world, to what scope was the world given over to idolatry? Oh, yeah. Totally. Except for Israel. God's people. Only God's people. And once you get away, and sometimes God's people, but those that were truly God's people were the only ones faithful to God. And outside that, the rest of the world. Pick China, idolatry. Pick India, idolatry. Pick the Middle East, idolatry. Pick our part of the world, idolatry. Pick the Aztecs, idolatry. Behind all of it, for all time, one being. One being. Satan. Now then, Revelation. I did not put this one on the outline. Yeah, well, that means whenever I say that, by the way, is to my wife, remind me to put it on the outline. But I wanted to put this in here because I'm wanting you to see this. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a lion. Now look at this. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. I wanted to put that in there for you because you see, when you get over to the 13th chapter, in the 13th chapter, you're going to be seeing that this is all about who you're going to worship. You also find this back in chapter 9. But the rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. So here he's talking about everybody out there is worshiping your idols. What you need to do is stop it. You need to stop worshiping these idols. Because in reality, you're worshiping demons, and Satan. Now then, Revelation 14, 9-11. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image, let's stop right there. The beast and his image. Who was the one that gave the beast his power and his authority? Satan. That's all I'm wanting you to see. So when we go to the 13th and the 14th chapter, and the beast is warning people to worship him, and who would not worship the image of the beast were going to be killed, who was behind it all? One being, Satan. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. He wants to be worshiped as God. And every time anyone out there in any civilization are worshiping any idols, they're worshiping the demons and the one who's the head of them all, Satan. If anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on their forehead or on his hand, He himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. And then finally, getting back and closing this text out, he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, whoever receives the mark of his name. Okay. So if you're going to worship the beast or any idol, who are you worshiping? Satan. And if you do this and do not repent of it, what's going to be your final destiny? Hell. That is the final lesson on a study of Satan. That was just the introduction. Took me 3 sermons to give the introduction. Because you got to understand the enemy. You got to understand what he is and who he is and what he's done to our world. You got to understand the level of his power and his influence in our world. The ruler of this age, the God of this world. And when you understand who he is and what he's done and what his desire for all humanity is, this is what really makes next week's sermon powerful. Because we're going to close out this entire series by getting to the point of how Jesus came into this world to destroy the works of the devil. And that's next week's sermon. Come back and hear it. We'll stop right there. If there's anybody here this evening who is not in Christ yet, what are you waiting for? If you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, be willing to openly confess your faith and, motivated by your faith, make the commitment of repentance to follow his word by faith all the days of your life to the close of your life. Yeah, it's a big commitment. Biggest commitment of your life. But if you're willing to make that commitment, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you into the body of Christ for the remission of your sins. If you die in your sins, you'll be forever separated from God. And when judgment day does come, and it is coming, you will be forever in hell with Satan and the angels that fell. Please, don't go to hell with Satan. Don't go to hell with angels that sin. Have your sins forgiven and be reconciled to God. If you're a child of God already and you know there's sin between yourself and your God that you hadn't dealt with, again, what are you waiting for? Deal with it. Take the sin to your God. Confess it to him and turn from it. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We do the best we can actually to try to encourage you, to strengthen you, to help you. Prepare to meet your God. It's born when a man wants to die. And after that, the judgment. So if there's sin between you and your God, deal with it. And deal with it as quickly as you can while we stand and sing the song that Steve has selected.